Narichayim is Simin Tof Chof Ches. Narichayim talks about the Seder of Kviyas Hamoyadim, the Kviyas of Divin Yom and Toivim. Elu Hayomim Shein Koivim Hem Hamoyadim. These are days that we're not going to have a Yom to fall out in it. And it goes through Loy Adu Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah can't fall out on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Vav is a Friday. Gets to the Shulchan Aruch, goes through the different Yom Tovim of when they could fall out or not. Talks about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach. Shulchan Aruch writes, Ula Oilom B'yoyim Sheyia Purim Yia Lag Ba'imer. The day of Purim, which this year was on a Friday, is always going to be the day of Lag Ba'imer, and that's why Lag Ba'imer is on a Friday. A Peledika Shulchan Aruch. You have to understand, what's the Pasha Pshat? First of all, we're seeing here Lag Ba'imer is Mamash Yantif. In the Seder of Kviyas HaMoyadim, he's even talking about the Kviyas of Lag Ba'imer. Lag Ba'imer is a Yantif. What is this Yantif of Lag Ba'imer? What Hashpois of the Yom can we take out? Like every Yantif has its individual Hashpois HaYantif of what you could take out to grow and become better. What's the Hashpois HaYom of Lag Ba'imer that we could go ahead and get from this Yantif? And obviously we have to ask also, where is the Tzar HaShava of Purim with Lag Ba'imer? How do they connect together that the day of Purim is the day of Lag Ba'imer? So we know very well the Gemara in Yevamos that we've mentioned, and Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis, that the Gemara talks about the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva that were nifter Kulon Mesu mi Pesach v'al Atzeres. They were nifter from Pesach to Atzeres in this period of time of Sfira. 24,000 Talmidim. The Meiri writes on this Gemara, the Kabbalah b'yad ha-Ga'inim. We have a Kabbalah from the Ga'inim. She b'yoyim lag ba'imer posko hamisa. They stopped doing on the day of Lag Ba'imer. V'noigim mitoich kach, and because of this, we have our anhogo that now Lag Ba'imer is an epis a yontif that loylus anisba, you can't fast, and we prava simcha on Lag Ba'imer because the talmidim stopped dying. The chidor says Masha Oisin Simcha Lag Ba'imer, so we celebrate Lag Ba'imer, is because we know obviously all the Talmidim were killed out between this period of time. Ubiyoim Lag Ba'imer, where we know that's when they stopped dying, it was on the day of Lag Ba'imer, Shehischil Lishanois. That's when he went back and started to find five new Talmidim and begin again teaching Torah to a new five Talmidim. Now we have to stop and think about this for a moment. Rabbi Akiva, 24,000 Talmidim died out in Kemat a 30-day period. You make a cheshbon, it's about 800 Levayis for his Talmidim on every day. And Rabbi Akiva, the Rebbe, who attended 800 Levayis a day, the day that he finished going to his 800 Levayis, and the last final Talmud was Nifter, he got up and started again and went to find five new Talmidim. Like the Gemara brings down, Shim Rari Choy, Rav Meir, Rav Yosef, the five Talmidim that the Chazal bring down. Could we be Masig? Is there any understanding in the human comprehension to understand, after such a phenomenal loss, 24,000 Talmidim wiped away, and on that day, you would think, you know, maybe you went on vacation to Orlando to air out a little bit, or something else. No, no, no. On that day, he was mamshich weiter to find five new Talmidim and start again. Pilei plum. Where is the human strength inside an individual to go do such a thing? We're talking about the Heilige Tanya Rabbi Akiva, but after all, he's still a flesh and blood. How do you understand such a thing? A person could go further on that day itself of Lag BaOmer and be Mamshech Vaita to start over? In Parashas Kedoshim, the famous pasuk, Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Hashem asks us to be holy, Kedoshim Tiyu, because I am holy. There's a fascinating medrash on this pasuk. Kedoshim Tiyu, it's a Parasha Chav Dalet in Kedoshim, Medrash Rabbah. Kedoshim Tiyu, you should be holy. Yochol Kamaini. I would think that it means Mamash Hashem is telling us to be holy like him. Talmud Leimar, Ki Kadosh Oni, I am Kadosh, Kedushasi Lemala Mikdushaschem. My Kedusha is still going to be above your Kedusha. So Mefarshim ask, this sounds so outrageous. A human being is going to think, when Hashem commanded us to be holy, that I could be holy like Hashem, and now I'm going to be Hashem? But this is a medrash, black and white. Kedoshim to you, you would think Kamaini. And on that, the pasuk says no. What does that mean? You think you could be like Hashem? You're going to work on Kedoshim to you and become Hashem? Hazal shteit chazal. The Mefarshim answer that the reason why we have this question is because we don't know what a Yid is. You don't know who you are. But in truth, a Yid, Kedoshim Tiyu, you could climb to become a Madrega Kamaini. And only because of the Gzeiras HaKosav that Hashem said, Ki Kodesh Ani, that my Kedusha remains above yours, that's the only reason why you're not reaching Mamish, the level of Bayri Yoyla. But the essence of a Yid, what potential and capabilities a Yid carries, allows him to takabi Kedoshim Tiyu, and theoretically even Kamayni Mamish like Hashem. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the beginning of Shari Avodah Nesefer, HaPesach HaRishon, the first doorway for Avodah, SheYeda HaIsh HaOved Erech Atzmon. A person has to know his value. It's the first Pesach to becoming a real Eved Hashem and doing Avodah Hashem properly. To know your internal value. And he goes on Barichos, he says, and if Chalila v'chas, lo yakir ma'alosoi, a person who doesn't, chas v'sholom, realize his value, and we all unfortunately suffer from this, that we don't know our value, if we would really know our value, our performance would taka be with levels of shleimus. But if Chalila v'chas, a person is not makir ma'alosoi, that's when he starts straying and veering and not doing what he could do. The first Aleph Beis, says Rabbeinu Yonah, in Shari Avodah, is to know who you are. Know what potential you carry, what abilities you have. You know, Lahavdil, in the U.S. Army, there's such a thing as the Navy SEALs. The Navy SEALs, I once read a beautiful article about this. The whole world knows the most elite warriors that exist in the world are the United States Navy SEALs. These are individuals. SEALs stands for sea, air, and land, which literally they're trained to be able to go do it all. There's not a situation that you could put a Navy SEAL in that he can't be successful. It's by definition what a Navy SEAL is. And I read an article, we don't have time to go through the whole training of 30 months of training that they went through to train them to become a Navy SEAL. The bottom line is that finally, if he reaches the finish line of his training and he gets his pin that says Navy SEAL, 99% of the recruits fall out of the system before they get to the finish line. He knows when he reads that pin that he is unique and he's one of a kind, that no one else could do this. And what we have to realize is, why would someone become a Navy SEAL? The salary is nothing impressive. Janitors make the same money or more than the Navy SEALs. This Navy SEAL salary is $54,000 in an annual salary. Janitors make just as much. The whole motivation and reason behind someone becomes a Navy SEAL is simply the pride of who I am. That pin of being a Navy SEAL is everything. Because you're literally walking around with a pin that shows that I could do it all. We have to realize, as a Yid, we carry that same pin. A Yid carries a pin of being a Yid. You're carrying a neshama, and you're a Yid. That is a pin that says, you're a Kedoshim Tiyu person that can mamash reach Kamayni. You carry infinite capabilities by just being a Yid. Chazal tell us in the Gemara Sanhedrin and Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Kol Echod Ve'Echod Chayiv Loimar B'Shvili Nivra Olam. A person has to walk around saying, the world was created for me. And the simple taich of where this is applicable, Yeda Ha'odom Chashivusoi Ve'Erich Ma'alosoi Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To understand your value in Hashem's eyes. That the whole world is created for you alone, for your avodah. Because the avas Hashem that Hashem has to you as a beloved child, it's not totally in the rest of the world's existence. Literally, Hashem needs every Yid. And you as alone, as a Yid, carry that individuality that Hashem needs you, b'shvili nivra olam. And Zohar Kodesh writes, if a person would realize the love, the chmusa, the rochem kutchabrichu, that how much love Hashem has to you personally, you would be shogin kikfiraya, means you'd be screaming like a lion, roaring like a lion, lemirdif abasrei, to run after Hashem. If you would realize how much Hashem loves you as an individual, says the Zohar HaKadosh, you'd be running after Borei Olam because of that immense love that you feel. This is a Moiridik understanding of what a Yid is. You have a direct relationship with Hashem, and the Rabbeinu Shlom put a neshama in you that allows you to reach infinite heights. You know, the Bali Musa say, and in English, the translation is, woe is to the person who doesn't know his weaknesses and chesroinus, but it's a double woe to the person who doesn't know his strength and his milus that he possesses. Which means, as bad as it is not to know our chesroinus, we don't learn Musa say that we don't know we were lacking in our weaknesses, but it's even worse not to know what your milus are and what you carry. Rabbi Melech Biderman Shlita said a Moirid Gevart, based on a Chavetz Chaim, how everything the Rabbanu Shalom makes in this world, in the physical world, is there for us to learn from in Ruchnius. So he gave an example. He said, let's say the locomotive train that was created originally taught a Yid levels of Zrizus. Zrizus, first of all, and how fast you could go, but also, if you're a moment late, you missed the train. A telegram, he said, taught a Yid the value of one word. Because when you used to send a telegram, they used to charge you tremendous prices for every little letter. So the value of a word was taught to us by a telegram. Records and tapes, when they started to have recordings, that taught the Yid how everything's being recorded by Shemayim, by the Rinnish level. The telephone, when it came out, he said, taught a Yid that Hashem hears, even though you don't see Him listening, but there's someone there listening, the Rinnish level's listening. So Melech Biderman went further and said, and what does the cell phone teach the individual? What can we take out from the creation of a cell phone? When I was in Pesach Yeshiva, barely cell phones existed. No Bacha had a cell phone, we went to the pay phones. Cell phones are rather a new idea. What cell phones teach Klal Yisrael? So he said, cell phones teach the person the possibility to communicate at all times, even without any connecting wires. A landline phone needs wires. You need a whole system. And without the connecting wires, any connection, you can't communicate. You can't connect without the wires. Says Rav Melech Biderman, the cell phone taught the Yid, although you're missing connection, my ridiculous line, you're missing connection. There's nothing. You're not wired up with the Rabbeinu Shalom. You're missing connection. And yet, the Rabbeinu Shalom can still connect with you. That's the Mayridika breakthrough of a cell phone. But Nias Daiti, I want to add one more point. And what can we learn from smartphones? Or the crazy flip phones that are 5G that carry smartphone capabilities, even in a flip phone? What can we learn from that? And I think the answer is very simple. The breakthrough of the new types of phones that they didn't have when they first created cell phones is this tremendous tracking device that the bottom line is, no matter where you are, you're being tracked. You don't even realize it because you're just carrying your phone, but at the end of the day, in the network, they have you tracked exactly to your location. And therefore, a person's being taught, no matter how removed and lost you are, you're driving in some Sahara deserts, who knows where, and yet they can find your exact location, you have that extra level of connection, more than the standard cell phone when it was created. Without connection, you're still connected. This is the Moiridik Yesoid of what a Yid carries. A Yid is always connected, even when you don't feel connection. And that's the potential that you carry that you don't even realize you have. I have to tell you a Moiridik Maisa. I was speaking last night to one of Rabbi Chil Spiro's sons. And he told me such a phenomenal story that in all 40, 50 books that his father printed, I don't think it's printed. Because it's about him himself. I don't think he ever printed a story, even though I never read all the books. He told me, my father began, he was a Rebbe. And he just needed some more panasa, things were tight. And he decided to make some panasa, he's going to write a book. He wasn't a writer at that time. And he wrote his first book. He wasn't known to be a writer. And he wasn't sure if he had even the capabilities of being a writer. But he wrote a book because he needed some panasa. He presented the book to Feldheim publishers. And they looked at it. And they got back to him and they said, no, they denied it. Hundreds, thousands of people present books to them that they deny. You're not a writer, you know, take it back home. And they gave it back to him. Ma'isa Shaya. Feldheim, I'm sure, has a lot of charata today. He presented it to Art Scroll afterwards, figuring maybe Art Scroll will take it. And they took the book, and days, and maybe even a week or two passed by, and he hasn't heard back from them. So, meeting Parnassa, he called him up, and he said, listen, I'm doing this to make some Parnassa, and I need a Parnassa now. I have to know, are you taking the book? Are you accepting it or not? So they said, you know what, we're going to get back to you within 24 hours. And I guess they were really eyeing well into the book in those 24 hours. And after 24 hours, they got back to him and they said, we're going to accept the book. So they went ahead and accepted the book and they started printing it. And the first advertisement came out about the book. And he opened the paper himself. And the advertisement was brand new series from Michiel Spiro. And he said to himself, brand new series? I'm always planning more writing more than one book. He was planning writing one book. At that moment, when it said a brand new series, it hit him so deep that one second, I'm becoming a writer and writing books. And that changed everything. That today there are 40, 50 books of successful books from Michiel Spiro. He didn't know he had it in him to write a book. He didn't know he possessed such capabilities. Art Scroll's advertisement told him that he's writing a series. Ma'isa Shehayah, true story. Pillay Plum. We don't realize what capabilities we carry. And I don't mean just in regard to big stories, like becoming the next big organization that's going to change the world. I don't mean that. The smallest things around. A person gets some inspiration, and he comes to Mincha today, and he says he's going to have Kavana by Shemana Esri, Mamish throughout. And all of a sudden, he starts davening Mincha, and he hits an obstacle, and he starts spacing out, and he misses the Kavana. We don't realize giving up there too is the same yesod as giving up in something big. In the smallest things, a yid doesn't give up. You hit an obstacle and you started spacing out, a yid doesn't give up. He gets right back into it and he's mechaven the rest. The idea of giving up is not just applicable to something huge and tremendous. Big goals, big ideas, big plans. Giving up means in the smallest things that involve your life, that things you get involved with. Any small Kabbalah, small plan, small goal. You want to learn 20 minutes with Tzifas and all of a sudden after 10 minutes you mafsik. Don't give up, go further. You can still do 20 minutes. The smallest things in your life, a yid has to know what you possess doesn't allow the idea of yiyus, doesn't allow the idea to give up. You know, the pasuk in Parshas Truma, by the Menorah, it says, Ure'ei va'asei b'tavnisam ashet ha'amora bahor. You're going to go do like the picture that I showed you, Bahar. Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu was niskashi. He didn't know how to make this menorah. Hera lo yakadosh baruch hu menorah shel eish. The Rebbeinu Shem showed him a menorah of fire. And that's how he knew how to make the menorah. And the shaila is, first of all, what's this idea that he showed him a menorah of fire? He could have showed him a menorah of gold, of wood. What's this idea of fire? What's that representing? And in general, Sfas Emes asks that Lemaisa, at the end of the day, he still couldn't make the menorah, even after he saw that picture. And he ended up just throwing it into fire and the Rebbeinu Shlom made it. So for the Sfas Emes, So why Bechlal is the Rabbeinu Shem showing him, and this is how you should do it? If the Rabbeinu Shem anyway knows exactly what to do and he's going to make it on his own. Zot the Heiligus Vas Emes. What's being hinted here? Kein hu b'chol ha-mitzvah. Every act of mitzvah that we do, mikol ish Yisrael, for every yid. A person has to know, im yesh lo la'odom cheshek v'she'ifa. As long as you have a desire and a goal, v'rotzen chazak, and a real wanting, la'sais eiza dover, to do anything you want to do, soiv soiv yasigena. You have to know at the end of the day you will reach your goal. Min hashamayim yisayu biyodoy. Shamayim will help you get there. Lahagia la'on shetzorek lahagia. Even l'dover sheklal lo'ol al daitai, things that you can't imagine you could reach. Shamayim will help you. Like this idea of throwing the gold into the fire and the menorah came out. Eish is a representation of all our ruchnias, all our accomplishments. We have to realize that the Rabbeinu Shlom is always there to bring us to the finish line. And therefore there's no such thing by a yid to ever give up. It doesn't exist. You know, there's approximately 7.8 billion people in the world. And every person in the world has his own individual fingerprint. And it's a fascinating idea because so many people, and yet everybody's fingerprint is different than the next. I once saw a saying, Hashem gave you fingerprints that nobody else has, so that you can leave an imprint that nobody else can. And it's so true. There's no double of you. You are so unique with your own fingerprint that you leave an imprint that nobody could do in this world. I have to tell you a true maisa, just a few weeks ago. It is mana. I had to go to Gourmet Glot Plaza, I think it's called, that by Madison over there. I had to go pick up something. I went during the day. The parking lot literally was full. There wasn't a spot in sight. Baruch Hashem, Hashem opened up one spot for me, and I parked my car, and I went to take care of what I had to pick up. I get back in my car, I pull out, and I start driving through the parking lot to get out, and I notice a Schwarzer, a black man, walk in between the cars. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking at my rearview mirror, what's he doing? Is he checking all the unlocked doors to see what he could grab? Like, what's going on? And I see Mamish walking. I'm like, I don't want to get in a crash. I'm driving through a very busy parking lot. But I'm watching through my rearview mirror of what's he doing. Finally, I notice, like I pull over, drop to the side, because like maybe I got him, I caught him. All of a sudden, I notice he has a stack of Hashem needs every yid magnets, and he was hired obviously by Ura, and he's sticking it on to every car. I got home and I realized I had two of them in the back of my white little car. I just realized it was so phenomenal. If they didn't write it like that, if it said God needs every Jew, there's no way this guy will walk around and put a magnet that God needs every Jew in everybody's car. But he doesn't know what Hashem means. He doesn't know what a yid means. And mainly, he's sticking out to every car that Hashem needs every yid. And he's doing his job. This is a message that we got to drill into our brains. And Baruch Hashem, Ur is putting these magnets in every car or the Glot Mart, whatever, Glot Gourmet Plocky Lot, whatever you call it. They're sticking it out to every car because they want to stick it out to your brain. Realize who you are in Hashem's eyes. We don't realize 24/7, every moment of your life, what you're capable of. And it's unlimited koichas. We have to take time throughout our day to think about this, to internalize
who we are.
And this is the poshut understanding in Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva didn't need a magnet. Rabbi Akiva didn't need Ura giving out anything. Rabbi Akiva, even if they're experiencing 24,000 losses, it was a davar poshut to him that the day he lost it all, he got up and found five new talmidim. Because a yid never gives up. It's not part of a Jewish vocabulary because it doesn't exist in a possibility by a yid. If you know what a yid is. If you understood what you are in Hashem's eyes, you realize you're always connected without the wire, you're still connected. You feel distant. Hashem took away Rachman al-Aslan, 24,000 Talmidim from Rabbi Akiva. You can imagine how distant he felt. But on Lag Ba'ayimim, when the last stone was Nifner, he got up and went further to get more. Because as distant as you feel, you're always connected. And Hashem's waiting further for you to continue. Give up doesn't even have a word in our vocabulary. This is the yesod of what a yid is. There's another point that I want to bring out. Many times, when we're trying to do something good, and we have an obstacle, the bottom line is, the obstacle, whatever is in front of us, whatever stopped us, that difficulty, that challenge, it's hard. End of the day, we're experiencing something that's difficult. And it slows you down from what you wanted to go do and reach your goal. To reach your plans. To reach your wishes. But in truth, we're making a big mistake. It's not pshat that if I didn't have the obstacle, I'd be better off. Many times you only reach your goal with experiencing the storm and the obstacle and the difficulty. And that's how you reach your goal. Like the vort that I shared with the Olam, whoever was by the Suda, Ki be'onon eiroa el akapoiris, the Pasuk says, b'davoid of Yom Kippur, in Parashas Achrei Mos. Ki be'onon means in a cloud, Hashem appears by the Aron. Yeb Yonis and Aipshitz learns up in Yaris Dvash that what the Pasuk is really saying is that this is the system for all generations, not just on Yom Kippur and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but every Yid, that the Rabbi Nishom is a Shchanti B'soicham. Didn't say B'soichoi in it. B'soicham means B'soicho Lecha V'echad. Every Yid has a Shor as a Shechina. When Hashem is Mashur Shechina in you, it's with a system. Ki be'onon. In the cloud, which means when things are foggy and cloudy and dark, and you can't see with clarity, if you're ki be'onon, in the cloudiness, you don't give up, you keep going, a ro'eh, then I'm going to appear to you. That's when the Rabbeinu Shalom comes out to the yid, and you see the hatzlacha. If you stay strong when you're in the onon, when you're in the storm and in the clouds. There was a Maridika story I once read. The greatest invention that the world ever had was the invention of electricity. The world before electricity and the world after electricity is a different world. That was probably the most monumental invention that ever existed. The discovery of electricity was made by Benjamin Franklin. I once read the story of what happened. It was June 1742 in the city of Philadelphia, way before Rav El Yosei opened the yeshiva there, before the Philadelphia yeshiva existed. Benjamin Franklin made a kite to experiment He made a kite with a wire on top of it. And at the end of the string, he had a key, a metal key. And he wanted to see if he goes out in the storm, when it's raining and lightning, if lightning hits that wire, if he could somehow harness the electricity that goes through it. And that was the way he wanted to discover this idea of electricity that we enjoy today. So every time it rained, he'd be going outside with his kite and flying his kite, hoping lightning will hit it. And you could imagine how many hours he spent outdoors being soaked and drenched in the rain. You could imagine how uncomfortable he was in the cold, and it was shivering when you're wet and soaked, and how many days or maybe weeks it was until lightning actually struck his kite. And when lightning struck his kite, all of a sudden the electricity went through, and that was the beginning of his invention and discovery of the idea of electricity. People who saw him outdoors all those days and weeks thought, this man is a total lunatic, flying a kite in the rain. What an idiot! Could you imagine? He's soaked, he's cold, he's exhausted, he's a fool! That's what everybody looked at him as. And yet, because he knew what he's doing, he went ahead and kept going at it, and finally made the most phenomenal discovery that history ever experienced. The message to us is so unbelievable, because you would think the discovery can happen without all that hardship. And it's the exact opposite. It's a gewaltige mussel for what we have to know. That dafka through the rain and the storm that he experienced, through all that hardship, is why he made the discovery. And therefore, we have to know many times in our Avodas Hashem, it's dafka ki be'onon a royal akapayus. It's through the clouds and the storm that you're experiencing, and the hardship and the setbacks that you have, that we get the results of the success and getting to the finish line and reaching the goal. Like, for example, Rabbi Kiva. The bottom line is, on their madrega, the 24,000 Talmidim, lo nagu kavod zeh lazeh, they couldn't have been the link in our Messiah of the Torah we have today. And they all had to be wiped out. And it's only with all of them to the last one being wiped away, and then him starting again, do we have the Torah Shabbat Peh that we have today from those five Talmidim. This is a Meiridiki Yisoid, to know that instead of getting discouraged by the hardship and the storms and the clouds that we sometimes go through and becoming miyuyish from it, fakert, realize that many times the greatness comes out from the clouds and storms, from their hardships and difficulties. Reb Tuvi Goldstein Zatzal, his yahrzeit was just a few days ago on Pesach Sheni. Tuvi Goldstein was an Adam Gadol that I knew. My Mesifta was in his building in Borough Park when I was growing up. His son-in-law was the Reshiva of the Masifta. He was a great Pesach, Reb Tuvi Goldstein. He had a Shaykh, Reb Moshe Feinstein, in Halacha. He said over a Moira Dika Maisa about himself. He was sent to Siberia, and in Siberia, we know the conditions that people were in. One day, an officer came over to him and handed him a shovel, and he said, "You look like a young, strong man. Start digging." It was Shabbos that day. And Reb Tzvi Goldstein, at that point, all the years that he was there in the Siberia, he never yet was Mechalel Shabbos. He was able to always avoid any Chilul Shabbos in that labor camp. And when he heard what the guy wanted from him, he didn't know what to do. If he would refuse, he'll be shot dead right then and there. He starts to dig. He's going to be Mechalel Shabbos. He never was Mechalel Shabbos yet in his life. He, at the moment, didn't know what to do. And he was so frightened because to refuse, he's dead. To stop being Mechalel, he started shaking. And his legs started to wobble. And all of a sudden, he just fainted right on the spot. When he started waking up and coming back to his senses, he heard the officer grumble to himself, "I see you're not so strong after all. I'm going to go find someone else." So Reb Tzvi Goldstein later on in his life said, "Sometimes you're in a situation where you feel you can't do anything, but you could still chalish for Kavod Shamayim." This is what he said about himself. A Mayridikam lesson. A Yid doesn't give up. And even when he couldn't do anything, he chalished for the Rabbi Nishloilam. It's important to know that even in our hardships, Lufum Tzara Agra, like the Mishnah Avay says, the Rebbeinu Shlom has it all calculated. There's not a moment of tsar that we're experiencing in the hardships that sometimes Chas v'Shalom make us give up that's not going to be calculated. And that in itself is a tremendous inspiration not to give up, to keep going. It's not being unnoticed by Bari Olam. Every little mashu of hardship. There's a saying, giving up on your goal because of a setback is like slashing your other three tires because you got a flat. Are you a fool? You got a flat, you're going to slash your other three tires? So you had a setback. That's a reason to give up? There's so much in every little element of who you are, of your success. Just because of the small setback, where is there room to give up? I see we're late on time. I just want to wrap things up. The bottom line is, Lag BaOmer is a day with tremendous hashpoyes hayoyim of a yontif of what defines the yid, that a yid keeps going and he never gives up. Rabbi Kiva began again on that day without wasting a moment. This is the essence of a Yid. Purim is no different. Purim, there was a decree, La'abdom, Klal Yisrael's be wiped away, and the Chazal bring down, that even in Shemayim, when they went to the Avos, they said there's nothing we could do. Shemayim decreed, and agreed to it. La'ashman, La'argas, Kol Yehudim, Mitaf, Venoshim, everybody, were all being wiped away. Shemayim agreed. And yet, the Yidden didn't give up. Like Rav Shem Shapinkis says, if we would know Shemayim agreed, Shem Shapinkis, I heard this from his mouth, he said, we would take up our yarmulke and throw it away. I'm done. Hashem, if you're wiping us away and you don't want us, I don't need you either. And you throw away your yarmulke. But a real Yid doesn't do that. The real Yidden in the time of Purim realized, what do you mean it's a decreed? There's no such thing as it's over. And the Yidden fasted and davened, and they broke the Gezerah. And they broke the decree. That's the same root of Lag BaOmer, of a Yid never giving up. It could be this Sarah Shava of why Shulchan Aruch says it falls out on the same day. But the point that we have to know, and the message we have to take out, is the ideas that by regular people and by Goyim,
where when they have difficulties and challenge, they give up and they become miyuyish and they start feeling like a failure in everything and depression. All these ideas have nothing to do with the yid. A yid has to know what you possess and carry gives you strength 24/7 at every moment of your life to always continue on and always keep the connection, because no matter what, you have connection even when you don't feel connected. And that's the yecheilus nashvois that Be'ezer Hashem we should take out from the Gevaldik today.